Okay, so we're not doing a regular preach at this point. Don't worry if you're thinking we're in for the next 40 minutes. We're doing an introduction to our 40 days of prayer and fasting, just to briefly introduce it, and just explain where it comes from and the kind of vision behind it as well. So the 40 days, you can see the kind of logo on the screen there. Couple of phrases, your grace is enough, and learning to live by grace. They're both quite important phrases. In what we're going to look at, the idea of living by grace is a really significant thing. And in our society particularly, we all know, because we all struggle with the idea of living, to the slogan of that T-shirt where we say, your grace is enough. And it means more than simply something we would say, Lord, your grace is enough for us. Actually, we find it really hard to live like that if we're being... I certainly do. I don't know about you, but it's I think it's difficult to live by grace alone. We kind of so easily caught up by the kind of things and priorities and attractions and sort of stuff that everyone in the world lives by. And it's a discipline and a joyful discipline to learn to live by grace. And that's hopefully what we're going to try to learn to do a bit better together over these 40 days of prayer and fasting. I'll just explain what we mean by prayer and fasting in a moment. But why we do this each year, and we've done it now for, I guess this is probably the 7th or the 8th year that we've done it as a church family, each year. Not always at this time of the year, but usually sometime between January and now. We've set aside 6 weeks where we have all done stuff kind of individually, as well as together in small groups, as well as together in church on a Sunday, and tried to discipline ourselves to know God better, to go deeper in our faith, and to allow God to speak to us in a particular and powerful way. And God has, every time we've given him the space and opportunity to do that. It's remarkable how when we give him the chance, he will step in and make the most of that. And again, we just want to pray that God will make the most of these 40 days to us now. So we commence on Monday, and a kind of key plank of the 40 days is a daily devotion, which this year is a bit more substantial than we've done before, because we're kind of going to be covering over the 6 weeks the content effectively of a study guide, a really excellent study guide that's now out of print. But the way in which we're going to make the most of it is by sharing the bulk of the content of that study guide day by day, week by week over these 6 weeks. So that when we gather together in our small groups, we're not going to start going through a bunch of questions, but actually the questions you're going to be looking at in your small groups are the questions that you've already covered in Monday through Saturday the week before. So if your small group meets on a Monday, you will have covered the material Monday through Saturday in your daily devotions as they go out by email. Now, if you know you're not on the church database in terms of receiving regular emails, it would be really good if you were, for a bunch of reasons, but particularly so you can be part of 40 days of prayer and fasting together with us. And if you're not, if you're kind of new around the church and you haven't given us your details yet, and you'd like to receive the daily 40 days of prayer and fasting emails, these daily devotions, Leah's at the back there. You want to stand up just a second? Leah's the administrator in the church here and has the kind of up-to-date database, and she'll send out the stuff day by day. I think they'll probably leave about 5 or 6 in the morning, and so they'll be in your inbox by the time you kind of wake up for most of us, and we can start the day with new material every day. If you haven't given Leah your details already, today would be a great time to do that, because we start tomorrow, okay? And next Sunday's sermon will be a reflective sermon on what we've done Monday through Saturday. And then small groups next week will effectively be covering the material from Monday to Saturday of this week. But so why we do it, there's a couple of reasons. One is to develop a habit of doing exactly what we have felt God lead us to do, which is to say we choose God's way every day. And these 40 days of prayer and fasting, I know for many of the folks in the church, you will have your kind of daily Bible readings, daily stuff that you'd normally do. This period gives us a chance to do something all together, that we are in it together, we're listening to God individually but also together, and we're discerning the mind of God together. And we can support and encourage each other in that if we kind of fall a bit behind. There's a bit of support and accountability and all that kind of stuff that goes with good discipline. But partly it's a habit of developing a daily habit of choosing to do God's way in obedience every day and listening to him carefully. It's also about spiritual transformation, because that really is something that's absolutely critical to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Spiritual transformation, you just see kind of listed here, yeah, on this screen here. It is a process. It's not something that happens in a once and for all act. It's something that happens over a believer's lifetime. We become, hopefully, through the process of giving ourselves to, dedicating ourselves to contemplating the Lord and being obedient to him, we become by process more and more like him day by day. It's God's work who changes us, but that requires our and my participation. So we choose to participate with God in these 40 days individually and also corporately together. It's a team pursuit. It's something we know well as a local church, not a solo thing. It's also available to all who desire it. But it's also diverse. So the way in which you will choose to fast, which effectively is about giving up something, or particularly something that takes time in your day by day, so that you might give time to contemplating God and devoting yourself to listening to God. That's a sacrifice of one thing for another. That's effectively what we mean by fasting. It's not so much food fasting. You can choose to do that as well, of course. But for us, it's more about fasting of something that takes time out of your day every day. So for me, I think this year, I'll probably, with lunch, I'd usually like get on the internet, scan the news websites, and a whole pile of other rubbish as well, but basically take up that kind of lunch break by just surfing the net. That's probably the thing that I'll give up in terms of taking time out of that to do something different, to do what you guys are doing, but you'll be doing it in a different way in different occasions. And the way in which God leads us to quiet waters and places of restoration will be different for each of us. You know, the Lord might lead me every other day to go for a walk with him in the dingle or something like that. Whereas it might be something quite different for you. It might be as you walk the dog. It might be as you spend time with your family, just that we do stuff together. We often do the 40 days stuff together as a family as well. There's possibilities. But as I mentioned at the bottom there, disciples of Jesus are handcrafted and not mass-produced. So although we're doing something which is altogether, we should fully expect that the Lord will speak to us and guide us and lead us in ways that are distinct and specially crafted just for you, that he might lead you on. We're going to choose, we're going to use the study guide. It's a study guide by Willow Creek. John Ortberg has written it along with a couple of other people. It's been out of print a little while. I mean, Catherine and I have used it in church in Glasgow and in Aberdeen a couple of times in different ways, and it's a fantastic study guide. You'll really enjoy using this material. It has some spiritual exercises as well as the kind of classic Bible study kind of questions. But it's based on featuring Psalm 23 as the key text. So let's just read that together just now, because over the 6 weeks, we will immerse ourselves in Psalm 23. Line by line, phrase by phrase, day by day, week by week, Sunday by Sunday, we'll consider the different aspects of what it means to live by grace, as King David did, as he reflected in Psalm 23. Let's read this together just now. It will be very familiar to some, and perhaps that might be the biggest barrier to some of us getting stuff out of this, is that it seems so familiar. Just allow God to teach us in new ways. Because every time we come back to the Word of God, God's intention is that we don't only go round the circle like we did before as we read Psalm 23, But every time, as a more mature Christian, we come back to Psalm 23 again and spend time in God's word again, the idea is not that we go around the circle again, but like a corkscrew, we go deeper as we go around every time. We go deeper and deeper, and we learn new things about God. And God teaches us and takes us deeper into himself. So let's read God's word. It says this, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Those are beautiful words. And the little theme of these 40 days and our devotional times together, our small group meetings week by week, is your grace is enough as we learn to live by God's grace day by day. The idea of grace is essentially the kind of many and varied expressions of God's love and God's care and God's provision for us. I mean, clearly our salvation through the death, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest, most perfect expression of God's grace, of his love, of his provision, of his care for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, right? It's just such a beautiful expression of God's provision and God's care, which the Bible calls grace. But it's far from the only way in which God's loving care and provision is demonstrated in our lives day by day. God is concerned for our whole being, our whole person, our whole lives, our families, our neighbours, our whole existence. And his grace is sufficient in all of these circumstances. And living by God's grace is about discovering and entering into the full sufficiency of God's provision for our whole lives. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." And you might be well tempted to think, well, that was all right for David. He was a king. He had lots of wealth. He had lots of influence. His life was probably cushy and everything was fine for him. And that would be a wrong way of thinking about David's life. You know, David lost an infant son. He lost a grown-up son. David's life was embattled. Pretty much ever since he came onto the scene, where God used him to be mighty in the army of Israel, he was beset by the then king's jealousy and anger, and he survived assassination attempt after assassination attempt. And even when he was king, the kind of sense of uprising and tumult within his reign, even within his family, his son was the one who led, you know, kind of assault against him. You know, this was a man who was hounded from pillar to post. And many of the Psalms, I guess, would be written while he's on the run in fear of his life. He was a man who committed some very public and horrible sins. Not only committing adultery, but having, essentially having the man whose wife he committed adultery with murdered, and then having to live with the guilt and the shame of that and seeking God's forgiveness. And into those circumstances, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Now, that's either just words, or he has found something in relationship with God which we need to find as well, that we might live by grace. And John Ortberg, he says that this is a confident statement that it's possible to live in the unceasing care of a relentlessly attentive and gracious God, whatever our circumstances. And he asks very probing questions in the introduction. He asks, can you make this confident statement yourself, that the Lord is your shepherd and you lack nothing as a consequence? Nothing of significance. Does it describe your way of life, he asks? Or do you live worried and weighted, dulled to the daily presence of the Good Shepherd in your life? You know you were saved by grace, he says, but what does it mean to live by grace? And I guess Jesus was the only person who lived out Psalm 23 perfectly. Even for David, I guess these would have been true of his reality and ambition to a great extent, but certainly not perfectly. But Jesus lived in relationship with his Father every moment of the day, his shepherd. He moved about also in the midst of relentless demands and difficulties. If you know anything about the life of Jesus, far from straightforward, far from an easy ride. But he allowed his shepherd to lead him to green pastures and quiet waters, that his soul might be restored. Even in the ordinariness of life, which we're going to look at in week one this week, for Jesus, the sparrows and the lilies, the loaves and the fish, he had eyes to see the steady flow of the shepherd's gracious gifts to us. And he lived in the thankful grace of God. And even in the cross, in the valley of the shadow of death itself, Jesus held on to the promises of his shepherd. Even when he couldn't see or feel the Father, he committed his spirit to him. He persevered in the path of righteousness for the shepherd's sake and also for our sake too, so that he could become our good shepherd, who loves us so much that he gave his life for the sheep. Thank you, Jesus. That we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the words that David used, inspired by the Holy Spirit, might also be true for us. All the days of my life, the righteousness and goodness of God has been made known to me in God's grace, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we will be able to celebrate at a funeral service here tomorrow. Because the lady who died had faith in Jesus Christ, that the words of the closing part of Psalm 23 will be spoken with the confidence of King David, based in the assurance of the work of Jesus, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And that means a lot, that we learn to live by grace. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And John Ortberg asks us, as we start these 40 days of prayer and fasting, what would our days look like if we lived each day like this? How would our lives be different? Our anxieties, our joys, our confidence, our obedience, our freedom, our fruitfulness. If we truly lived each day in the grace of our Good Shepherd. And over the next 40 days, we are invited to find out as we walk by faith. So next week, as we begin in week one, I'm just going to look back at Psalm 23 and just the first three verses, And we'll look at that verse by verse. We'll look at these three verses over the course of Monday to Saturday through the help of this guide. Let me just notice these three things here. As we think about living in grace this week, one of the kind of three things that's trying to get us to focus on about what it means to live in God's grace is learning to notice God's grace in the everydayness of life. We'll be asked some questions to reflect on our own lives in that regard. And also that we might take the opportunities for receiving God's grace every day. You know, whether that's a lunchtime walk, a moment of solitude on the train or in the car, a still house when the baby is asleep, each of these moments can be transformed into a personal time of green pastures and still waters with the Lord. And John Ortberg says, if you have eyes to see and the willpower to slow down and presence yourself with the presence of God, your shepherd has provided everything necessary to transform our rushed souls into restored ones. But he won't force you to turn aside. He won't force you from the sheep pen to the place of pasture. He calls us by name, and we respond by listening to his call and following our shepherd to pasture every day. And that's part of our responsibility every day. And our discipline of prayer and fasting encourages us and gives us a facility to do that. The choice is ours. And so on the final slide, we simply, how we're going to do that this year is fairly straightforward. And in similar to previous years, we're going to choose to fast from something, some activity, something that takes up our time each day, and choose to sacrifice fast from that. That we might spend a minimum of about 30 minutes. It's going to take us a little bit of time just to devote ourselves to spend time in Psalm 23 and thinking about God's word each day. Some of these reflective questions that are asked in John Ortberg's guide. And he will lead us into still waters and restoration if we give time to the Lord. So we choose to do the daily devotions. That means we have to get the email. So if you haven't got that, just have a word with Leah, please. We specifically asked this year if you could, everyone get a hold of a writing jotter or a journal. But every day is part of our spiritual discipline. It's a good spiritual discipline anyway. But every day, in response to the questions, just to note down your reflections and also your responses. Because you're going to use them in terms of being able to discuss things when you meet together in your small groups each week as well, the following week. So you're not coming with a blank sheet of paper. You're able to come and reflect on them together. But it's going to be good for us to do that personally. So get a journal or a jotter and write down your own stuff each day as to how God is speaking to you and how you're responding. Choose to be part of a weekly small group and choose to reflect on the weekly sermons, which themselves will look back on the Monday to Saturday of our daily devotion. Does that all make sense? It will to people who've done this before, but we're doing it slightly different way, with slightly different material this year. Each of the small group leaders will have the full resource of managed to sort of cobble together enough copies sort of from around the internet world, literally the whole world, that we've got together. So there will be resources. For people who are not on the internet, don't receive emails, I've done a full week's worth of daily guides, and they're on the table at the front there. So for the guys that are not on the internet, there's only about 15 copies there, because I know that Eleanor's small group, plus a few others in the church, will need them. The rest of us can access it in a different way. Let's just pray together that God uses this time of prayer and fasting for his glory and lead us. The band are just going to lead us with a final song, and Catherine's going to lead us in prayer. Yeah.